obsessed with all things ovine, there is seriously something about sheep and always something new to learn about keeping, breeding and farming them. Welcome to the Sheep Show podcast. I'm Jill Noble from Holston Valley Farm and Sheep Stud and your host. The Sheep Show podcast exists to help you, no matter where you are in the world, what sheep you breed, what size your flock is. This podcast will help your sheep knowledge and your shepherding confidence grow. And it's a two-way street. I love to hear from you and find out how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. Come along on this episode as we explore the amazing world of sheep and sheep farming together. Many of you probably know that we aim to farm in a regenerative way here on our farm in South Gippsland, and it's been something that's been quite a sort of a passion for us and something that we feel very, I suppose that it's very crucial to how we farm and the approach that we take. So what exactly is it, I suppose? What is regen? And where does it start? How do you do it? And why would you do it? And what's the benefit for sheep? So a few people that I would suggest would be good for you to sort of tap into, and I'll leave a lot of links for this, everything we talk about, I'll leave a lot of links in the show notes. But listen, if you haven't read, or potentially even I find it better to listen to it, Charles Massey's The Call of the Reed Warbler. That is a brilliant book to listen to. Gabe Brown, if you're into YouTube, Gabe Brown's got some really good ideas. Charlie Arnott, another very prominent agricultural farmer and educator in this particular space. So all of these people are influencers. Another really great YouTube channel as well, which is quite local to us, but there's a fabulous guy there, a soil scientist called Declan McDonald, and he is on the site. The YouTube site is WPCLN, and that is the Western Port Catchment Land Care Network. WPC for Catchment, LN Land Care Network. And it's a community-based nonprofit organization that works with land care groups. Land care is an organization here in Australia that focuses on everything to do with improving the health of the land, whether it's planting above ground and below ground. And the Western Port Catchment Land Care Network basically works with land care groups, farmers, government agencies, local businesses to achieve improved environmental and sustainable agricultural outcomes. So great YouTube channel, like 15-7 videos on there. Website is www.wpcln.org.au. And the videos that they have on there from Declan McDonald, I find really, really accessible. So, you know, sometimes in this particular case, and you'll see what I mean if you try and read Charles Massey's book, it's brilliant, but it's very, can be very difficult. I found quite difficult to read, but well worth listening to. So hopefully that sort of gives you a spot to go in. But we're here now, so we might as well talk about it. So I'll start off by sharing, I suppose, really where regenerative agriculture needs to start. And this is a quote from Charlie Arnott, and he says that the most important paddock to manage first is the paddock between the ears. I'll read that for you again. The most important paddock to manage first is the paddock between the ears. And really what he is saying here is that we need to shift our mindset. That's really where regenerative agriculture is. It's in us. It's in the way we think about things. It's in our, our disrupting social norms when we think about farming and when we think about soil. And
You know, we've really got to start with that. We've got to start with, you know, revisiting concepts, theories, ideas that perhaps for a lot of us, we might have grown up with farming and it definitely wasn't very regenerative. So that's really where we need to start. Another fabulous resource that is just such a great thing to watch if you haven't watched it already, the Woody Harrelson narrated documentary called Kiss the Ground. It's a groundbreaking film, really looks at the, well, it focuses on, or it says it looks at the first viable solution to climate crisis, but it's talking about regenerating the world's soils, really thinking about stabilizing climate, restoring ecosystems, and creating abundant food supplies. So movement, I suppose, to really solve this challenges of the challenges that we have, and very much one that's very useful for us when we start to think about farming in a regenerative way. I suppose if we just look at the fact, you know, for us, why we do it, I mean, this is very much driven from Gary because he has studied horticulture. So we do it because it's way more sustainable and it is very much about working with nature. And the benefits are like extreme. Like we have lots and lots of local people who come just, you know, visiting or just calling in or just saying hello. And one of the first things they say is, where'd you get all this grass from? You know, or, you know, this grass, you've got way, you know, even we have some people say to us, you're, why are you wasting all this grass? And they're just not getting it. And you can really see that they don't get it at all. So the benefits are just like, you know, phenomenal. They really are. And for the health of the animals, like, you know, to not be, particularly from our sheep point of view, to not be worried about having to drench sheep every 3 to 6 months is just amazing. You know, to just think, yeah, these sheep are going to be okay. Yeah, you know, there will be food. If you think back to my recent podcast on preparing for drought, if you haven't listened to that, go back and have a listen to that because regenerative agriculture basically is a way of drought-proofing your farm. I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't have any challenges. I'm not going to tell you that it's like a complete panacea. We know we talked in that podcast about lots of other things that we need to do to be able to drought-proof and drought manage and prepare for a drought. But regenerative agriculture is it's a huge way of being able to manage that. So how do you define it? Well, it's a many layered, multifaceted beast, and it basically spans food production, natural resource management, indigenous wisdom, human health and wellness, community economics, dynamics, culture, basically. And this is all from Charlie. This is all I'm quoting here from Charlie. Charlie says, if you have a pulse and eat food, you should be interested in regenerative agriculture, which is just such a good way to look at it. So it's basically a mix of different farming methods. Probably one of the key concepts is that it's very low input. Now, we didn't have a tractor here for like 7 years. A tractor was like, you know, an afterthought for us. Whereas for some people, it's the first thing that they think of, or, you know, when they think about farming, they think about tractors. And a lot of our locals were quite surprised when we didn't have a tractor. We managed, but it's very much about low input. Everything is low input, and that goes from mechanical inputs, synthetic inputs, chemical inputs, drench inputs, whatever it might be, just really low input. So what is the input? Well, the input is about working with nature, not fighting nature. So what do you put in? Well, you put in what nature gives you. So when you think about it, nature has a very circular economy where waste is a resource rather than waste being waste. So where possible, we want to think about perhaps using that waste. And for us, with animals, well, that's manure, isn't it? You know, that is actually letting the animals do the work that they're designed to do. And they're designed to help with management of pasture, rejuvenation of pasture, and with you know, spurring on new light and even fire control. We use the horses, for example, very much in our regenerative agricultural system. And because of the way that they've got a monogastric stomach, they also, the way that they eat with their top and bottom teeth, they can eat really low to the ground. You know, they don't have the same worms as sheep. They actually can hoover up sheep worms, and sheep worms die inside them. So horses for us are a key regenerative agriculture tool. You know, whereas a lot of people see horses as, you know, either just for pleasure or leisure or a pain. So, you know, we sort of work them or help, you know, get them, I suppose, working for us, if you like. So really it's about management, managing things differently, looking at problems differently, and about, I suppose, non-prescriptive farming. When we have had people come here, they've very much done the whole, here's a prescription, follow it, do this, do that, do the other, put on this, put on that, put on the other. And this is why, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've never had an agronomist on the Sheep Show podcast talking about them. I've had a few agronomists on here, but not talking about agronomy because, I would like to, we've had a regenerative agriculture agronomist, basically. And someone like that, Declan McDonald, that I mentioned from that Western Port land care, he would be very much in that sort of regenerative agronomist space. And again, we're moving in this regenerative space, this non-prescriptive space, from high input based / high cost to management based, measured and more profitable. So really trying to, and it's not profit at all costs. So we have low stocking density, for example, you know, so it's not about production, but it's about trying to sort of aim. I mean, we need to have it sustainable, and sustainable also means sustainable practices and sustainable profits. You know, that's really, really key to what we do. So why is regenerative agriculture sort of a buzzword? Why are people interested in it? Why should we be interested in it? Well, we know that, you know, everything is under pressure. Air, water, soil, food quality, it's all declining. It's all degrading. Our health is under pressure ourselves. We know that waste is increasing. We know that the chemicals are a band-aid, and they add, of course, to a lot of the inputs and to a lot of the costs and to a lot of pollution. We know that when we mine the land or mine anything, those resources are very finite and are being depleted. And then we know that when we use regenerative approaches, we get multiple positive outcomes. And one of those is improved profitability from a farming business point of view. So if you think about inputs versus outputs on a farm, so just look at that, then regen ag is basically the way to go here and the way to really work it. So if we, even though it is multi-layered and it's multifaceted and there's so many things and it's non-prescriptive, yeah, so bear all those things in mind, it is good to have a couple of principles that we think about, a couple of principles that would help us when we look at farming. And there are six core principles that are relevant here. And the first one is to really, and I think I go back to this concept every single podcast, really understand your farming operation. What is the context? Where are you farming? What are the environmental pressures and challenges and environmental gifts that you've got? For example, for us, we have the gift of water and rain. Does it come with its own challenges? Of course. We just spent the day digging, working with plumbers, digging a trench to try and deal with some water issues from one of our cabins, you know? So there's always these challenges that we have to face when we have these blessings. But you really have to understand where you're farming, what environment you're in, what is the climate like, what is the topography like, What is the soil type like? And fine, you can go and get your soil tested if you wanted to. But again, what they're going to tell you is a list of inputs. Think about that. A list of inputs. And for us, we got our soil tested, and the input we put on there was animals and manure and fences. That was the inputs that we put on there. And we were able to sort of really, well, first of all, really get a huge reduction in our weeds, the weeds that are very annoying, or the weeds that are sort of aesthetically unpleasing, and the weeds that are potentially environmentally concerning as well. So, really understand your farm and the context of your farm. And of course, Charlie Arnott's concept around the paddock between the ears. Yeah. Then what you want to do is minimize soil disturbance. So, AKA, don't have a tractor if you don't need a tractor. AKA, don't plow, don't till, don't turn, you don't cut hay. Anything that would reduce soil disturbance is going to improve the topsoil and, of course, stop that erosion and degradation that we were talking about. So that's huge. I mean, are you going to have to disturb? We were digging up today. That's disturbed the soil, but it's a very small area, and we will let it settle, and then we will reseed. So wherever that happens, we manage it or try to bring it back to health as quickly as we possibly can. Talking about reseeding, in a regenerative practice, one of the principles is to maximize crop density. So this is where you think about, okay, I want a nice thick sward of grass. I want to have no bare ground, aka principle number four, keep the soil covered. Maybe you even want to have a diversity of cropping or pasture. So you might want to have or encourage plantains, which I've talked about before in terms of foraging. You might want to have chicory. You might want to encourage clover. What have we done to encourage clover? Fence, sheep, manure equals clover. It's amazing. Once you let the clover actually grow, the clover will grow. So resting paddocks, aka having your fencing, that's going to really help. Keeping your soil covered, I mentioned principle number four. This is where, again, any disturbance, anything where your soil might be exposed to the elements, rain, hail, wind, sun, even animal sort of messing, where animals lie, scratch, dig, overgraze. All bad for your soil, so keep your soil covered, particularly the sun. And we try and keep a very good ground cover, so keeping a third of the paddock if we can. If we can, it's not always possible, of course. Again, it's non-prescriptive here, so bear that in mind. And then, if you're thinking of keeping the soil covered over the top, then you also need to think about what that's going to do for the what's happening of the livestock that are underneath. Yeah, the below ground livestock. So this is where you want to maintain a living root ball in your plants, in your pasture, all year round. So think about your grazing managements, think about your grazing practices, think about not grazing too much. So Gary's classic, a third, a third, a third, graze a third, trample a third, eat a third, or sorry, leave a third, graze a third, eat, trample a third, to push it down to connect with the soil, which increases the soil biology. And then think about leaving a third so that you have a nice resilient mat. And then our favorite core principle of regenerative of agriculture, integrate sheep. Well, sheep slash livestock. I shouldn't be so biased, should I? But integrate livestock. So again, cattle and sheep together, a flurd. That's what Gabe Brown runs. Cattle first, then sheep. Or if you're like me, sheep first, then cattle, and then horses if you want to. Yeah. Or indeed, you could have other things. You could have chickens. We've used chickens quite a lot in some areas to manage particular challenging areas as well. So they're livestock, So whatever works. Yeah, whatever works. So key principles. Number one, understand your farm and your farm context. Number two, minimize soil disturbance. Number three, maximize crop density. Four, keep the soil covered. 5, maintain living roots all year round. And 6, integrate livestock. So for you, you can think, okay, well, of all those principles, what ones have I actually done and what else could I do? So here's just a little sort of audit that you could look at. So if you think about understanding the context for your farm, start with the paddock between your ears, start with your mindset. What are your farming and personal and life goals? What is your land and topography and soil, your climate, rainfall, seasons? What is your land suited for? Like, we know our land, we've tried it, our land is not suited to large mobs of cattle, and particularly calving cows and the pressure that they put on the land. So we just don't do that anymore. And what grows really well in your land, you know, when it's left? And what is the nature you're fighting against when you think about understanding the context of your farm? So is there something that you're battling against, and what could you do to manage that? And what doesn't work on your land? What doesn't work on your land as well? Minimizing your soil disturbance, keep your plant roots actively growing all the time, keep a nice plant leaf solar panel. And this is because the fact that we are farming light. So the sugar produced by photosynthesis can feed the soil biology, and that's going to be very healthy for your pasture and for the soil as well. And of course, a healthy soil helps with stability. So withstanding wind and wind erosion and landslips. Obviously, it's trapping carbon. And the other beautiful thing with minimizing soil disturbance, it is going to improve the water holding capacity. So if you think about having a land where drought might be, you can sort of, I suppose, sustain through drier periods, and then your land will bounce back. So minimizing soil disturbance will really, really help as well. And weeds do thrive in that disturbed soil as well. Maximizing your crop density. Diversity is the strength of everything. You know, it's the strength here of the Sheep Show podcast. You know, how diverse we all are. You're all coming from different parts of the world, farming different sheep, farming in different ways, farming for different reasons. No one's better, no one's worse. We're just all doing it. Yeah, we've all got a huge thing that we've got in common. And there's strength in that numbers and strength in that community. And then you think about your crops or your pasture, whether it's natural or whether you add it, think about what you can do there to maximize that crop diversity. And we know that monocultures are fragile, and they will really easily sort of falter in extremes. So again, we want to think that diversity begins in the soil here and then finishes in the human gut before going back to the soil. So this sort of, again, circular economy. And the more living things you've got, the more diversity you've got, the more resilience that you've got. And that biology in the soil helps to release minerals. Plants then can absorb those minerals. Healthier plants, what does that mean for us? Healthier sheepies. That's what we want. We want healthier sheep. Healthier sheep. And for whatever reason, you're whether it's for meat purposes, dairy purposes, whether it's wool, or whether you're breeding because you just love sheep, you know, and you don't, you know, do you have any sort of outputs apart from just the joy of having sheep. Keeping your soil covered, 100% cover 100% of the time. Bare soil is nature's worst enemy. Mother Nature hates it. And it basically, what it does, it releases that soil carbon into the atmosphere. Again, coverage helps with the elements, water loss in particular. And of course, cover crops, great for your stock. So think about that as much as you can. Really grazing strategically. I mean, this is where we think about rotational grazing as much as possible. Like, there are some areas in our farm, sometimes of the year we might have sheep in there 1 or 2 weeks, and there's some areas of our farm we might have our sheep in there 1 or 2 hours. So really graze strategically, and again, if you can, minimal tillage, minimal turnover, and then preserving and even growing, complementing the existing topsoil, helping and working with nature as much as we can. anything. Number five, maintaining living roots all year round. Trees, understory plants, habitat, very much supporting the water cycle. We know that our sheep in particular are very sensitive to sun, so we want to have that nice shelter for them. Roots will feed the soil. Roots help hold the soil. You know, so if you think about landslips, if your land is prone to landslips, which ours is, the more root balls you have, the more those roots are holding on to the soil, and the more you're going to have less slipping in your paddocks and on your roads or tracks or whatever it might be. And of course, in between all of those root balls, you're going to have fungi, mycorrhizal fungi, which then have this ability to have glue or produce glue, and that holds the soil together and assists water to filter for better drainage as well. So we want to be able to sort of capture the water, but we also want to have well-drained soil. And then again, our favorite one, my favorite one, integrating livestock. And they are absolutely integral to all parts of an ecosystem, and ruminants in particular, but even birds have a herd effect. So anything that would have a herd effect on your grazing is going to really, really help. Of course, we are, as a farmer, we are stimulating that herd effect. If you think about the savannas and the buffalo and the gazelles that used to graze, they would move in a herd and they'd leave their dung behind for example, the birds to sift through. So they had a system and they were managing or having that herd effect on the savannas, which allowed then those savannas to rejuvenate. We want to sort of mimic that as much as we possibly can. And again, we think about the above and below ground livestock integrating into that ecosystem. And then, of course, really managing that so that there is some sort of feeding the soil because of the manure, which, of course, adds to the biology in the soil as well. And then really thinking about your stocking density and the decisions that you have to make based on the land conditions as much as you possibly can. Again, it's going to be horses for courses. So I look at these principles as not just in six in isolation, like integrating livestock goes back into knowing the context of your farm. Yeah, it goes back into understanding the soil coverage, you know, it goes back into, you know, no disturbance, you know, all these things really, really help as well. And of course, the grazing, that herding effect, trampling effect thickens up pasture, and the grazing pumps carbon and builds topsoil faster than no grazing at all. So grazing, ironically, as Gary would say, the only worse thing than overgrazing is not grazing at all. So thinking about how we can graze better. So think about what you're doing. Have you got tools, strategies, connections, contacts? Here are just a few. I'll pop some of these in the show notes as well. There is Regeneration International. There is the Regenerative Agriculture Alliance of Australia. There are lots of studies that we can do in regenerative agriculture. I've mentioned to you some of the books, some of the resources, YouTube facilities and things like that. And there's tons of podcasts as well. So just Google Regen Ag and the podcast that might be there. If you haven't perhaps participated in any formal education, then I would suggest starting with your local land care network. Seeing if they have any local study. And then if you wanted to sort of tap in, I know recently, for example, there was a Regenerate weekend, education weekend in Albury. And that was at a local regenerative farm there in Albury. So there's probably something going on in your local area. Start local. That's very regenerative, isn't it? Start local, think local. And then, of course, you can broaden it out. Gary did a little course with Joel Salatin, for example, and he had a great weekend, quite an intimate weekend with Joel Salatin. This was probably 10, 15 years ago. And also attended some other events, local events and things like that, where he got to meet some people and tap into it. But he's got a background in horticulture, so he's always quite passionate about about this area too. So hopefully it's giving you a little bit of food for thought, a little bit of things to think about, and also an action plan. We always like an action plan. What are you going to do next? Yeah. Are there tips here that you can think about putting into practice with your little sheepies? Can you fence more? Can you rotate more? Can you encourage that trampling effect? Can you leave more ground cover? Can you graze more strategically? Can you integrate more livestock, different livestock in your grazing management? All the above. All good food for thought, all good strategies, all good techniques. And again, key thing here would be it's non-prescriptive. And let's make sure that whatever we start with the paddock between the ears.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sheep Show podcast. Please take a moment to share this episode via your podcast app, email, or social media channels. Each share helps us reach listeners just like you who can benefit from our sheep-focused content. Let me know how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email, jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. Until next time, sheep well.